are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
It's God Geeks time. You know that. Every Friday,
that
on your drive to work.
Familiar tune. A faithful Friday. A freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
I'm at the James Cleland. This is...
My name's Bill Breimer, but my Twitter handle
Oh, we're not going by our Twitter handles anymore? Come on. Well,
wouldn't that be weird? No, I think that
might
develop.
People have started doing that.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I'm at Bill Breimer on Twitter and Instagram.
Yep. You can always find us every Friday on God Geeks, but also our website, godgeeks.com. We're also on Christ Hold Fast. Check it out. And we've still got our competition going on. We've almost got enough names. If you rate us on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and only if you want to. You don't have to do this, so please rate us even if you don't want to. We will pull your name out of a hat, and you could be our first guest on the show. We've got people lining up to be guests.
We have people wish they could rate us a few times and get their name in the hat again. That's cool, though. We like that.
Yeah.
We got some people who are like, listen, I'll rate you, but I'm not.
I'm not coming on.
I don't want anything to do with
coming on. I don't want to be associated with you guys.
That's right. Yeah. I don't want my good name dragged through the
mud. I
lose
my job.
Yeah.
No. We got some fun stuff to talk about today. We went and saw Conjuring 2. And we also saw last week's episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so
which
Conjuring
was awesome.
2 is set up to talk in Jedi Mind Tricks, where
yep.
we talk theology, and then we talk Game of Thrones and some other summer fun movie and TV show stuff that's coming out. Even into the fall, stuff we're excited about in This Week in Geek. I got a special quick announcement, too. Coming on July 1st, my album, Bill Breimer and the Skybirds, is coming out. Full-length album. You'll be able to download that album completely free on my website, BillBreimer.com. So feel free to check that out on July 1st, and we look forward to it. That'll be on a Friday. Hey, and so we'll have God Geeks podcasts and albums coming out. So we'll bombarding you with stuff that you can listen to if you are so led. But here we go, man. We're going to get into it. What is this segment called, James?
Jedi Mind Tricks.
All right.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
As promised, listeners, we have viewed one of the most popular movies in America right now.
Yeah, making a ton of money.
The Conjuring 2. We mentioned last week on our show that we would watch that movie and we'd talk about the theological implications
sure.
of some of the things that went on and kind of chat with y'all in Jedi Mind Tricks about what we see, what popular culture tends to believe and take as truth from these movies. And so we saw The Conjuring 2 today, starring Marilyn Manson as a creepy nun demon and probably Ebenezer Scrooge
as an
old man who haunted the house.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think... Somebody from one of Tim Burton's movies as the crooked man, you know, the crooked man. I felt like in this movie, they, if you haven't seen it, The Conjuring 2 is based on, here's what I like. They call it cases. Here's what, like they're investigating cases,
it's a loose
you know,
word.
And they're like paranormal history, you know, like they use all this terminology that's like, makes it, you know. Seem official. They're not cases, they're claims.
Claims, yes.
If they're investigating anything, they're these claims that there is paranormal activity. This particular claim was in London, and one of the coolest parts of the movie, if not the coolest part, was
The Clash.
The Clash, yeah. The Clash, you hear London calling, and you get shots of kind of a 1976 era London. Maybe the highlight of the film.
Yeah, I think it might have been.
And and James, this place was referred to as Enfield, or the Enfield Hauntings.
Yeah, Enfield Poltergeist.
You've done at least some surface level research on it. And I'd love to hear what the wisdom of the interwebs
say
about it. Because we all know that that's solid gold stuff. Yeah. So hit it, man. What do we know about this claim in the movie?
I would say 90% of the information out there from reputable sites would point towards everything being a hoax played by the girls for attention, for fun, for something. There is absolutely no physical evidence.
That was not that. If you heard that,
that
sound, that was not a poltergeist. That was me knocking
there
over my...
There is a clear explanation that for was, all the Pez dispensers
geeky,
falling.
This is how geeky.
He knocked over all of his Star Wars Pez dispensers. That he had lined up.
And my hand actually hit him, so it wasn't a poltergeist.
Yeah.
So.
What order did you have him lined up
I'm
in?
I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah. I probably did have him ranked.
So geeky. But, anyway,
well, what's geekier is that your friend James here, who's given us the poltergeist story from London, gave me two Pez dispensers.
Oh, yeah, you got them good.
Yeah, two Pez dispensers.
They were extras. I already had those.
And they're still in the package. So I think he's nerdier because I don't even have them in the package anymore. I'm probably going to take them out
you
and
eat the
candy.
All right. Yeah. I found some Topps baseball cards the other day. Right. They still had the gum.
Okay,
I had to eat it. Anyways, speaking of bad taste left in my mouth, this movie, totally a hoax from what I can tell. Now, I am not saying that there can't be demonic activity out there. I am saying that in this instance, what Ed and Lorraine Warren investigated, other people investigated too, known skeptical people like magicians and things. You know, when I say magicians, people who do magic on stage, investigated this case and found... the girls were faking things. In fact, and it's hinted at in the movie, they show a scene where someone recorded one of the girls faking things. Well, that actually happened. And when the girls were pushed, they admitted to faking most of it, if not all. Now, the paranormal investigators that wanted to believe that paranormal things were going on said that they were only faking 2% of what was going on. The other 98%. You know, was real. And that was played out in the movie, too.
Yeah, that's kind
but
of
they came up with a weird demonic reason that the demon was telling her to fake it.
Right.
So, okay.
Which was that the demon was using either stories of dead people...
Or the spirit
sort
of a dead person.
As sort of pawns or intermediaries to have... So that... Marilyn Manson, the demon, couldn't be identified by who he really was.
Because if you know the name of a demon,
according
to the movie,
film.
That's how you have power over it. Also, according to the film, and this is, you know, demonology 101, I'm sure, if you picture yourself in a white light, evil spirits can't hurt
right,
you.
Yeah, there was a lot of silly things in the movie.
But then it dabbles, and I use that word appropriately, I think it dabbles in, I think, some real spiritual issues and real spiritual battle type stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there was some...
There was some
laugh out loud, really, honestly, Scooby-Doo moments
in
the film.
Totally.
Including eyes looking through the back of a painting.
Right.
Which is brilliant.
Right.
I mean, like...
and the hands creeping around the frame.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's greatness. And they do a great job of building suspense in the movie.
They do. Oh, okay,
and,
so the
And
the
jump out and scare
itself,
you kind of stuff.
There were scary
well,
moments.
Well, here's what I'd say. I mean... The issue is there's a treatment of theology in the film,
mm-hmm.
which is the reason that I have a problem saying I liked it. However,
right.
if there wouldn't have been a treatment, a theological treatment
if it had
or
just
statement,
been the crooked
if you will,
man, some weird.
Well, here's the thing. I was entertained by the movie.
Yeah.
I was actually entertained by the story. I think it was actually pretty well done. I mean, it's you can,
the
it's,
fake British accents got me, but besides that,
right? Well, yeah, I mean,
but it was good.
The thing is
there's a reason it makes money.
You know, to a certain, you know, you got to go into a here. Let's just say it how it is. You don't go to a horror movie expecting to see an Oscar nomination.
No.
You know, you go to be entertained, and to me it was entertaining.
Yep.
And very predictable.
It followed the same pattern as the first movie, in my opinion.
It was not near as scary as the first Conjuring movie, the one we reviewed last week.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was near as much theology in this one as in the last one.
Yeah.
They had
a varnish of it.
Yeah. It was kind of a maybe a backdrop.
Yeah.
The problem is there is theology behind it, and a lot of people hear that theology. So was there any theology in the movie that maybe reaffirmed what you think that Hollywood or pop culture uses? What did you was there any impressions in there that you like? What did you learn from the movie that people probably believe that is contrary to what you would think is scriptural?
I think the movie reflects that a lot of people in society will believe there is a God, and he's somehow battling evil and needs us to help him battle evil, possibly, and that this same God could be different for different people. That it's not the God of the Bible necessarily, but if you believe that, that can be powerful. So it's a movie that won't take a real stance on who God is, because that might, you know, offend some people possibly. I think the term might be universalism, something along those lines, but it doesn't, I mean, it uses Jesus, but not really, you know. It's just, I would think, like I said last time we were talking about Conjuring, the first one, I think Ed and Lorraine Warren would be more than happy to call on the name of any God that might give them power over a demon.
Right.
They'll use the name of the demon itself to fight the demon.
Yeah. In these movies.
Now, in
real life, who knows what
you can go to their website, and I don't really recommend it.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, you know.
They do a little bit of it. Just slightly problematic in that aspect, but totally on par with, I think, the rest of Hollywood and how they view God, you know. It didn't appear to be a God that's that powerful. Like, he needs us to fix things for him, or I don't know.
Well, he's a distant God.
Distant God, yeah.
You know, there was a few statements about God, and he made reference to, you know, his dad. The main character, I would say, for this film was probably Ed Warren.
Ed this time, and it was Lorraine the last one.
Yeah, so that was interesting. Yeah, and by the way, the actors that play those two parts are excellent.
I think they're great. Yeah.
Vera Farmiga.
Something like that.
And the guy, I don't even know the guy who plays Ed. I don't know his name, and I should have gotten that ready. But he was actually also in the TV series Fargo, the second season.
I gotta watch that still.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it good?
He is a really fine actor. I mean, really is. Like, he's got that. He really has a kind of a leading man air about him, that he can do the softness, he can do the mm-hmm. tough guy, he can mm-hmm. do kind of the whole thing. So
yeah.
I mean, that guy's good, and I apologize for not having his name ready. Here's what I thought would be interesting, just to do the main theological assertion of the film. I felt like was that if you know the name of a demon,
mm-hmm.
that the knowledge of its name gives mm-hmm. you power over the mm-hmm. demon. And there's absolutely no biblical
pure fantasy.
There's no biblical truth to that notion. In fact, they do the same thing in this film that they did in the last film, which was a desire and an attempt to communicate with demons.
Yeah.
Like, there's even a seance at the beginning of this film.
Which is what the Warrens were actually known for, is doing seances.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and she says, coming out of that seance, this is as close to hell as I ever want to go.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why do you keep opening up lines of communication with known unclean evil spirits, inviting them into your life?
Right.
I mean, this is
which I did like the point of the homemade Ouija board seemed to be a representation of that going on.
Yeah,
too.
An invitation. And there's several scenes of the kids inviting spirits to communicate with them in one way or the other, which is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
In actuality, not just in horror films, but if you want your life to be a horror film, go down that road of trying to communicate with the demonic, because I mean, you open yourself up to those very things, like we talked about in the last episode. Here's what I thought would be an interesting little thing to do, since the film seems to make the claim that knowing the name of a demon somehow is even relevant in its exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I can think of in my mind, now this doesn't mean that there isn't another biblical narrative where the name of a demon is actually asked and told. The only one I can think of is Jesus. He actually does that.
Okay.
In a circumstance, and it's in Luke 8. So I thought what I'd do is I'd just briefly read it, and you and I can talk about it, and that'd probably launch us right into This Week in Geek next. So here we go. This is from Luke 8. I'm going to start somewhere around verse 26, and probably mispronounce names in there of areas and different stuff like that. And then this is what you should do. You just act like you know how to pronounce the names, and then everyone thinks you know how to pronounce the name. That's kind of the old trick there. So
I'm an English teacher. I do it every day.
Right. Okay. That's good to know. We won't let your employer know about that. But this is the sort of subtitle there. Jesus heals a man with a demon. And this is Luke 8:26. And then they sailed, and this is talking about Jesus and his disciples, to the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. So Jesus has already said, come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from the demons that the demons had gone from sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from there, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into a boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. So that's the only account in which
legion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For we are many.
Many.
So a Roman legion could have been anywhere from 1,500 to 4,800.
Somewhere in there.
Soldiers.
A lot.
In a legion. So thousands, potentially thousands of demons in this one host. And a large herd of pigs. Who knows how many pigs? Or who knows if it's even relevant?
Right.
It's interesting, you know, I think we may have even talked about this before. We've never read the text out loud before, but we've talked about it in passing. That swine was considered an unclean animal.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously these spirits are referred to as unclean spirits. But I don't think there's any precedent set there for asking a demon's name.
No.
Or the practice or the idea that you would have some special power over them if you did. That would obviously be a misreading of that text.
Right.
And it's also important to keep in mind that the God-man, Christ, Jesus, the fully man, fully God, Savior of the world, is the one that is in control of the circumstances,
right.
Situation.
And there's a name to call on.
Right. Yeah. If you're going to know a name,
yeah.
Forget about the demon's name.
Right.
Know the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure that I heard the name Jesus Christ in this movie that we just
not
saw.
Not once. Not this time.
I heard the Father,
Father,
the Son,
and
the
Holy
Spirit.
Yeah.
And
then Latin again, because it's magical.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 Right. The magical Latin. There's nothing like a dead language to exercise a demon.
Dead spirits. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So, anything else about the film that struck you,
you know,
interests you? Anything about that text that that jumps out at you?
I think it fits perfectly. Just kind of the idea that there is a name that does have power, and it's not the name of a demon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Call on that name.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, if you happen to see Scooby-Doo paintings hanging in your house where the eyeballs come out or hands around the corners or any kind of Scooby-Doo sort of hauntings.
And if you need to break through a door, there's better ways to do it than hatch it to the middle of it.
Yeah.
Just so frustrating.
That's right. a lot of frustrating things in the horror movie.
I don't know.
Horror
okay, why do
general.
Ghosts have such control over doors? I don't get that.
Yeah. well, you know, it's a fun movie.
It is fun.
I had a good time going to see it.
It's one where I can watch it, get scared, but I'll be able to sleep tonight. No problem.
Well, so my opinion, the first one's scarier.
Yeah.
If your goal is to be scared,
go with the first one.
You're basically not going to get a good treatment of theology in either one of them.
Nope.
Although there are hints of in both, and there are actually assertions in both, and they take it takes discernment to sort of look at these things and know what they are, and it's an important thing to do because it's what our culture embraces is what they're taught on screens, not just movie screens, but phone screens and computer screens.
Oh yeah.
And so it's good to dig into the word and see where there may be an overlap, and there's probably not going to be too much of an overlap in movies like this, but that's okay because it is what it is. That you know, it's a pop culture phenomenon, a popular movie.
Speaking of pop culture phenomenon, let's talk about the small screen next.
That's right.
All right.
As we go into This Week in Geek.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, it's time for This Week in Geek. Get real geeky. Definitely going to talk some Game of Thrones. So if you haven't seen this week's episode, don't shut us off yet, because we're going to talk about a couple other things first. Bill, you were excited about a couple announcements. I have no idea what they are. What you got?
Well, the first one was that in the previews for the latest episode of Game of Thrones, there was an extended preview for Westworld.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
That showed more stuff, what's coming up. And here's the beautiful nugget that they gave us at the very end of it. They showed the Westworld logo after the new, you know, trailer.
Yeah.
And it said October. So we know that Westworld is starting in October. We know it's going to be starting then. There was a lot more revealed in this trailer.
Okay.
A lot of cool stuff. I did not see Ed Harris in it, unless he is the black-hatted cowboy, which I think he is.
Okay.
And they show it. They show that black-hatted cowboy from the back. So I'm excited about Westworld.
Nice.
I'm excited about that show. I'm excited about the fact that HBO is doing that show.
And they got a date now, so they can't back
out
of
it. And starting in October, yeah. Which makes me think that it's the first season is probably all shot, and they're just editing it.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. Maybe some reshoots, but.
So yeah, and the fact that it's coming in October. The season will end in time for the Emmys. So
right.
I think all those are good signs that this is going to be
faith in it.
A legit thing and a really cool
right.
Move by them to do this show. The second thing that I am beginning to get excited about for the first time this summer is actually a summer movie that we didn't mention before.
Okay.
Or maybe you did, and maybe I just didn't hear it. It maybe zipped right by me. But I'm actually kind of excited about the Star Trek movie that's coming out.
It's back on my radar. I totally forgot about
Star Trek
it. Then
Beyond,
saw a trailer.
Yeah. And I'm not a huge Trekkie, but let me say this. I was a huge Next Generation
Trekkie.
Yeah.
When
I was in high school, I loved that show. I really love Jean-Luc Picard. I love that whole crew.
Yeah.
And that era of Star Trek, I do love. I mean, I like the originals too, but that's not really my generation of Star Trek.
Yours was the next generation.
Mine was the next generation.
Yeah, me too.
And I really do love that. And I loved the first Star Trek movie, with J.J. Abrams, one that J.J. Abrams did. And I'm excited about this one. I think it could be cool. I don't think it would be bad. You know what I mean? I don't expect that it's going to be a bad movie.
Right.
And so it is the one summer movie that I think could save summer movies.
Okay.
Maybe. So we'll see.
Good.
You know?
Hey.
And so those are the two things I'm excited about. That one comes out July 22nd. So it's coming up. It's coming up here.
One other thing I'm excited about.
Okay.
And then we'll get in some Game of Thrones.
All right.
If the movies this summer aren't good, I think I got a TV show I'm going to totally geek out about. I sent you a trailer.
Yes.
Netflix next month, middle of July, Stranger Times.
Yeah.
It looks like Goonies meets E.T. meets Close Encounters meets, I don't know, some other just 80s nostalgia.
It's got that great,
so good.
It's got that great vibe to the preview.
And Winona
sure.
Ryder. I like Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
She's in it.
Yeah.
And kids riding bicycles.
Yeah.
At night.
Again.
Yeah. It's back.
Yeah. Like kids actually riding around the neighborhood, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of just...
Oh, I'm really excited about that show. The more I read about it, the more I get excited.
Yeah. I loved it. When you sent me that, I was like, oh, yeah,
we're going to geek out about that. Because Game of Thrones will be over
the danger
when that starts.
Well, the danger will be we'll binge watch the whole thing.
Yeah, that's true. We'll have to space it out. We need to space it out so we can talk about it.
Yeah, I think we should. I think we should limit ourselves to like 3 episodes a week or something.
Yeah, let's do that.
And then we can geek out about that in this section of the show, which now what we're going to geek out about, and we love to geek out about, and you guys know this, and some of y'all who don't watch the show, Game of Thrones, I don't even know why you listen to this podcast.
It's the Game of Thrones podcast when it's on TV.
This podcast is focused on Game of Thrones because it's the geekiest thing on television.
It's really geeky. Full-blown dragons now.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I mean, you're getting... This last episode, the title was... I hope this doesn't give us an explicit rating for saying this. I don't think it will.
No, it's in context.
The Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah, they're both actual bastards.
Yeah, Jon Snow.
One more so than the other.
And Ramsay.
Yeah.
Ramsay the Hate. Ramsay the one that we've all grown to despise.
Yeah.
It's almost... He is such a villain... That it's almost not even fun to hate the guy. You just want him to pay.
Yeah.
You know, you love to hate King Joffrey.
Yeah.
You know? But this guy I don't even love to hate anymore. I'm just like, he's got to
go. Get him.
He's got to go. And
sick that giant on him.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that weeks back.
We did.
That we wanted that giant to tear Ramsay limb from limb.
Came close.
The opposite happened. Actually, Ramsay put the giant down. But the giant... all but sealed Ramsay's fate by busting through the door.
Okay, let's back up just a little bit.
Sure. Let's
that
synopsis.
Might have been the greatest battle scene, definitely on the small screen.
There's without a doubt
it's the greatest medieval battle scene I think I've seen. It felt real. It felt true to what medieval battles were like, or even Roman battles with that, you know, whole...
A little medieval, middle earth
Totally.
Yeah, what they would be like.
Imagine if Lord of the Rings had that tone in the battle scenes.
Yeah. Well, the most captivating scene was Jon Snow suffocating
the masses of bodies.
The tactical, I felt like the tactical deployment of the troops was easy to follow.
Because the bird's eye shots were perfect for following the battle. Yeah. And then they would go straight from that to, oh yeah, here's what it's like to be in the middle of that.
Yeah, yeah. they would zoom in and the chaos and the warfare, brilliantly done, brilliantly shot. You know, the way it all ended, the huge payoff.
This should have been a season finale. The
unbelievable that it's
so
not.
So what are we going to have next week?
I don't know. It's going to be a letdown, though. It's going to be a letdown.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, I don't.
It'll all be set up,
the
maybe.
Ultimate villain, was there, I mean, Joffrey.
They never humanized Bolton.
Ramsay.
No. They didn't give us any backstory about why he's so mean and yada yada. Oh, I mean, we know his dad's a jerk, but even his dad was like, why are you like this?
He was just evil.
This was just evil.
Yeah, he was just a pure evil, purely evil character.
Yeah.
Who was all... And the way they introduced him was excellent, too. The way he, you know, set the trap. You know, so the Stark clan is back in...
Yeah.
In Winterfell.
I'm worried what deal Sansa made, but...
Well, so let me ask you this. So, did you get an implication that Sansa had a plan to go meet Littlefinger and those troops during that strategy session, and that's why she was telling Jon Snow, don't take his bait. Don't do what he wants you to do.
Right.
Because she knew I'm going to go right off and meet him. Because she rode up with him as if, you know, that was kind of her backup plan if all else failed.
Right.
Which I don't have a problem story-wise or character-wise. I think it's maybe a brilliant addition to her character that she would have the wit and the intelligence to do that. I think I have no problem with that issue. The issue that I have with that is that there would almost certainly be an immediate distrust between her and Jon.
Yeah, possibly.
And the wildlings and the rest of the people who died. When she knew that it was
I don't think she did. I think what happened was she had already told Littlefinger, I want nothing to do with you, right? And I think she was going to stand by that. But then when she was getting kind of cut out of everything, and Jon was not listening to her, and she realizes Jon's going to fall for whatever trap it is.
Yeah.
I think that's when she leaves to go see if she can still get Littlefinger.
Okay. Okay.
And then shows up
and
with
maybe
them.
We'll
not
find
knowing
out.
Not knowing
maybe
if
we'll
yeah,
find
maybe
out.
We'll find out.
Maybe that'll be resolved.
I don't think she knew at that strategy table that she was going to do that.
Yeah.
I think it was, I have to go do it. I don't want to. It's the only way I can save Jon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have two major plot sort of payoffs.
Yeah, we have Daenerys too.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Daenerys.
We finally
comes
see
back.
Dragons in a real battle.
And dragons, you know, melt a boat of living people.
Yeah.
And that basically stops everybody in their tracks.
Yeah.
And they, because Tyrion was smart enough to say, don't destroy all these boats.
No, we need them.
Just go show them, demonstrate your power, and then we'll use all these boats. Mm-hmm. And then now the Ironborn group has showed up with their boats, and they've made a pact. So we have definitely got. Do you know how many episodes left we have in this season? One or two?
One episode left. Right, and so, then we have. It looks like they're only going to do two more seasons, and they might be shortened seasons.
Okay.
So. But enough time to invade the Seven Kingdoms, I'm
well,
sure.
Well, so the what I'm getting at is the forces are aligning now for some major conflicts, which to me appear to be, and I may be completely missing a whole storyline here because there's so many. I would say Daenerys is one force. Her and the dragons and that fleet of boats.
Yeah.
All those all those armies she's amassed. Then you have kind of the north, the wall, the Winterfell. Now that everybody will probably come align behind the Starks now.
Yeah.
That they've kind of retaken control, and then you have the Lannisters.
Yeah.
But then you have them really struggling with this faith, whatever.
Yeah, they're struggling with them.
Yeah. So.
And we haven't seen the sand snakes in a while. That Dorne.
Oh, that's
Or the Tyrells.
Right.
So they're going to come back into play too at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's seven kingdoms, so we're going to have all kinds of.
It's fascinating.
Stuff going on.
It's a fascinating show. Yeah. Brilliantly done show. Oh, yeah. We're excited about it, geeking out about it, and we'll do more so probably big time next week after the season finale.
Oh, yeah.
Although I can't see how it could be any better than this week.
I'm going to be on the road on vacation, so I don't.
We might have to wait.
We might have to wait two
that's
weeks.
Right.
To talk
we're
going to
do some advanced recordings.
Unless you can phone me in, I don't know.
Well that'd be interesting, like an emergency Game of Thrones this week in Geek, which we may do.
Yeah.
But stay tuned, friends, and you'll find out next week on the God Geeks podcast.